Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Our time is now with LSU basketball.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
One way or another, we're going to make history.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
I came here to win. We're going to win immediately.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Three great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Welcome to hour number two of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio. Jeff Palermo, News and Sports Director of Louisiana Radio Network, along with the Executive Editor, Todd Horn, and the editor, Glenn Gilbo, Andre Champagne, our producer tonight. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll get you a preview of LSU gymnastics as they will begin competition in the NCAA championships on Thursday. The semifinal round will be competing Thursday afternoon in the first session in Fort Worth, Texas, as gymnastics tries to win its second state championship in program history. LSU men's basketball. Well, it was the talk of the town a couple of weeks ago when Will Wade was hired, and we let it settle down a little bit before we get our good friend Kent Lowe on the program here to talk about Will Wade Part 2. Kent, how you doing tonight? I hope you're getting ready to write some press releases here soon about some guys coming to LSU men's basketball, but other than that, I'm sure you enjoyed the Masters, and you're pretty excited about the future of men's basketball.
It's just been a couple of normal weeks at LSU.
How bizarre is this for you in that Will Wade is back, and then you look up from your desk, and here comes Johnny Jones walking into your office?
Well, I hate to tell you, I've known Rick Stansbury just about as long. So, I mean, you know, it's been fascinating, to say the least. But you know, it's an exciting, interesting time, and now it all, you know, in the next month we're going to see what kind of roster LSU has, and we'll go from there.
Kent, this is Todd, by the way. What does this new staff, you know, you mentioned Johnny Jones and Stansbury, and of course
Damon Stoudemire,
right, along with Wade. What does this new staff tell you about LSU's urgency and ambition as it's directed towards men's basketball now?
Well, you've got a guy, Damon Stoudemire, the newest one, a coach that was officially announced on Monday. You've got a guy with a ton of NBA experience, a ton of coaching experience at two head coaching locations, along with numerous years as assistants in the NBA and college. All these players, they really want to end up in the NBA, even though now players seem to be staying longer before they go to the NBA. That's their ultimate goal, or pro basketball overseas. So Stoudemire certainly brings that, designation to the staff. Johnny Jones has so many contacts in the AAU world around Texas, around Louisiana. I mean, he's well known around here, obviously, for his many years as an assistant and a player on the Final Four team. So he has that LSU love, that LSU brand experience that I think helps. Rick Stansbury has been involved in a lot of places. I mean, he brought a lot of those players that got Mississippi State to the Final Four when he was under Richard Williams, then ran the program very well there. He won a conference title in Conference USA at Western Kentucky. Plus, he's also been very involved overseas in involvement with some European teams and all, and consulting and those type of things. So I think there are a lot of avenues this coaching staff can go over the next month or so as they put this staff together and see where we end up.
Hey, Kent, thanks again for joining us. What's it like with Will Wade comparing his first few days on the job with you back in 2017 to his first few days this time? Is he like the same, or is it, I mean, I know it's different because of the portal, but just how's it been in comparison?
Well, when he came in 2017, I didn't know him.
Right.
You know, I did not have a relationship with him. You know, and I don't mean this in an egotistical way, but because I've been here so long, I've broken in a lot of coaches when they came to LSU to
That's
coach
true.
The basketball team, you know. But this was just rolling back into the routine more than anything, you know, where we were texting each other and answering each other's questions and things like that. I mean, it's just, you know, more just the routine returning and resuming. You're right. It's different now with the portal. You got to, you know, do a lot of legwork right now that he's involved in and the staff's involved in. So I'm not as have been able to spend as much time with him probably as I did when he got here in 17, but I can reach out to him and get any questions or anything I need or he needs answered very quickly.
Hey, Ken, I know in the past, Michael has had releases written and ready to go on coaches that LSU was about to hire, but then they didn't hire him and the release never was released. I'm wondering if you have some releases written on some portal players ready to go. You got three or four on deck, or what can you tell us?
No, I really don't, to be
okay.
honest. I hadn't
okay.
thought about that, to be honest with you. In fact, the funny thing is I'm leaving town tomorrow for like 10 or 12 days because I'm going to the two SEC golf championships. So I figure probably about the turn on Friday, we'll probably be announcing someone, and I'll be scrambling to the clubhouse. I mean, we've seen the names that that sites have put out, sites that some people hate and some people like, and are, you know, whatever you want to call them. But we are keeping a list of those just in case we need to start researching something in the, you know, next few days. And I don't know if it's next few days, next couple of weeks. I, you know, I've read a couple of stories where, you know, it was, you know, into May before, you know, it like NC State, he really got his roster into some, you know.
That's true.
Motion,
that's true.
You know, so, you know, I'm not sure if we're going to see something right away or if it's going to be 7 or 8 days or 2 weeks. So, I mean, that's kind of where we're all going to have to be patient here and wait and see how it plays out.
Right, because this portal window's deadline is April 21st, correct?
For them to enter.
Right.
For them to enter.
Right, so they can sign them for weeks after that.
Yes, most definitely.
So what I need to know, Kent, is Jalen Reese just absorbing all of this attention from all these four coaches now? I mean, is he just getting tons of technical and skill work on a daily basis? I'm joking. But what I really want to know, and I know you had a strong relationship with Matt McMahon, what is your take on the overall program and any progress it may have made under Matt McMahon?
Well, I would like to have seen, and this is just a personal thing, I would like to have seen how the season would have played out with Reed and Thomas healthy.
Definitely.
You know, I can't say to you, oh, hell, we'd have won 7 more games, you know, in the league. I can't say that. I don't know. But, you know, we never really had that opportunity, you know, and when it comes down to it, it's, you know, in this day and age that we're in, it is winning that, you know, controls the game, you know, for coaches. And unfortunately, the circumstances went against Coach McMahon as far as health, you know, and That's you know, I just don't know what, that's the thing. I don't know how much better we've been, you know, and I don't know that you or Glenn or anybody could actually say we'd have won this many games, but it would have been interesting to see how it would have played out.
Do you think that at the end of the day, keeping in mind how the health situation went, at the end of the day, LSU just really needed a bigger personality that Will Wade certainly brings to the table?
I don't know. I've heard a lot about that. That's hard for me to say. I mean, I've seen a lot of different varieties of coaches here and in this league over the years. But, I mean, certainly, you know, again, it all is, a lot of it's based on winning, Todd. I mean, you know, this league is tough and you've got to be able to win. I think Matt McMahon's a good coach. And I think if he wants to, I think he's going to have success somewhere, either as an associate coach or again, as a head coach. It just, for whatever reason, didn't develop here. Yes, people are very excited. Everybody is excited that Will Wade is back here. And, you know, we're the benefit of that for the future now. And certainly his personality is one that the fans gravitate to. You've seen the ticket requests, couple of emails about that. And, you know, again, we'll just have to see how it all plays out.
Kent, with you out of town coming up, who's going to replace you? Or is Will Wade just going to take over as SID? Because he says he's the GM as well.
Or is Mason putting in overtime?
I have written lots of releases on golf courses and clubhouses.
And bowling alleys. And bowling alleys.
Yes, I have written lots of releases on bowling alleys.
All right. That's versatile, man. That's awesome.
Well, Kent, we
have clubhouses, you know.
Well, Kent, we're looking forward to that first one. It's you know, the portal opened last week, and I know they're being diligent, so I can't wait to see how this roster comes together. We appreciate your time. Where are the two golf tournaments, by the way?
Well, I'm heading first to outside Tampa to the women's SEC tournament, and then the men that starts on Friday, and then the a week from tomorrow, the men's tournament starts at St. Simon's Island in Georgia.
Nice.
It's a difficult assignment, but someone has to do it.
Thanks, Ken.
Well, tell us, do the women or men have a chance to win it?
Men do, definitely.
The men definitely do. They're seventh in the country. They are like the fourth or fifth ranked SEC team. The women have battled a few health issues as well and trying to get a lineup set, but I think they've got a chance. They've got a very good chance to keep up their streak of making the top eight and getting into match play. So I think they've got a shot to do that. And once you get into match play, anything can happen.
All right. Got to lay off those workouts there for the women's golf team then to stay away from the injuries. All right, Kent, man, we'll let you go. Have fun in Florida and Georgia. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Kent Lowe, the longtime SID for men's basketball. Good stuff from Dr. Kent Lowe.
You should have said boot up.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, Wade's going to drop five on Kent while he's watching the 18th green.
With an Arnold Palmer in his hand.
I love that, man.
All right, let's take a break. More of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio when we come back.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio, we're back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio from inside the Super Chevy Dealer Studio, Jeff Palermo along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Glenn Gilbo, and the editor is, or no, executive editor is Todd Horn, the editor is Glenn Gilbo, Andre Champagne's our producer, and I'm Jeff Palermo, news and sports director of Louisiana Radio Network. As many of you know, Tiger Rag is involved in a lawsuit against LSU over whether the revenue sharing agreements between the student athletes and the university, which is public money. And if you don't believe it's public money, then we'll never see, we can never really move further on this conversation, but it's public money. And whether those should be shielded from public view or whether they should be made available. And the Louisiana legislature is also trying to address this issue. The House Governmental Affairs Committee approved legislation today that would prohibit the public from seeing how much student athletes receive from a public university as part that they get in a revenue sharing deal. Here is some of the comments that were made during today's meeting. This is New Orleans Representative Candace Newell, who voted for the bill. She says she has the nephew on the LSU football team, and that's why she supports the legislation.
No one needs to know how much money he makes, because although he's a great athlete, very smart young man, and he's made money, he's not that mature.
Attorney Scott Sternberg, who is representing Tiger Rag in this lawsuit against LSU, and he's also representing the two other media members involved in it, he says these are public dollars going to student athletes, and the public has a right to know how that money is spent.
If you have a football coach who has a son on the team, like our previous coach at LSU, knowing how much that son makes might be interesting.
Of course, Scott, they're alluding to Kenzel Kelly, and we don't know. Kenzel Kelly could have been raking in six figures. We have no ideas. But that was the point that he was making. Back to someone who's in support of the legislation, Alexandria Representative Ed Larvadane, talking about, and this was during the committee meeting, this seems to be, and there was another committee meeting on this as well, House Education, this seems to be the major overriding theme of why lawmakers are looking to shield the public or the revenue sharing agreements between the universities and the student athletes. It's over safety. Here's Alexandria Representative Ed Larvadane.
When kids are concerned with what you make and what I make, we're going to have problems. I don't want them to be harassed in class. I don't want them to be followed. I don't want them stalked.
And then PAR President Stephen Procopio, because a lot of people make the argument, hey, this is TV money, this is ticket sales money, this is that. But Procopio does bring up the point at all public athletic departments in the state now are receiving tax dollars from a bill passed last year that was signed by Governor Jeff Landry that gives each athletic department, it's about $1 million, tax revenue from online gambling. So that means it is public money. And Stephen Procopio says, hey, the taxpayer has the right to know how the school spends it.
So let's be really clear. It is tax dollars going to these purposes. And I can't see any reason why, if tax dollars touches part of this, that the public does not get the ability to know.
Todd, you watched the meeting, and then you wrote a column about it at TigerRag.com that already has a ton of views. Just your thoughts on what you heard today.
I've never seen so much confusion, PR trying to make things into what they weren't. This is very simple. You said something a minute ago when you started that we're talking about the use of public money for revenue sharing only, okay? There's no question in anybody's mind who understands that if a dollar passes through LSU, whether it comes from ticket sales, donations, seat sales, TV revenue, wherever it comes from, It is public money. That is money that is run, collected by, allocated by, and spent by LSU. Now, the legislature is trying to turn this into a privacy issue. There are privacy mechanisms already in place where they can protect the names of the athletes so that you cannot see what some player, Sam Levitt, Jordan Seaton, whoever else, Miss Newell's nephew, what they're making. They can redact it or what have you. So they're talking about a privacy issue. It's not a privacy issue. This is a secrecy issue. They're trying to keep secret all of the money that LSU is using for revenue share, not just to the athletes specifically, but also to the sport. You know, Virg Ausberry in the last couple of weeks has been talking about how Jay Johnson needs to get more money next year for his revenue share so LSU can be more competitive with the baseball teams, and he's committed to doing that. They passed this law, which it looks very much like they are going to pass it. You will only be able to see the pie, the total number of revenue share. You will not be able to see how it's divided up into the sports. And that's because that's the way LSU wants that to be right now.
And they're using the privacy argument to veil that.
That's right. And and again, let me repeat what I said earlier. If they want to protect the privacy of an individual athlete, they can certainly do that. There's mechanisms already within the current laws to do that. But they're introducing a new law to shield that, and it's dangerous because LSU is a public university and those are public funds, and there is no question about that. You can argue it semantically all you want to, but the bottom line is those are public dollars, period. Doesn't mean they're taxpayer dollars. It means they're public dollars.
We got only about 20 seconds here. A lot that I could say. Maybe we could pick it up after we talk to Mike Smith. And yeah, probably that's probably the best thing to do. Maybe we'll get back to this. But there's a lot more to dive into onto this. So let's take this break. When we come back, we'll get into what's happening on the, I guess you could say, the floor, the balance beam, the vaults. We'll do that when we come back here with Mike Smith from LSU Gymnastics.
Are you ready to answer the call to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member? May 11th is Membership Monday, a day when the Louisiana Farm Bureau family unites to ask you to join the organization that's been around 104 years as the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Membership has its benefits, and the ones with the Louisiana Farm Bureau can save you money. So on May 11th, Membership Monday, will you answer the call? Visit lafarmbureau.org to learn more.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious. With multiple engine options and impressive towing, while Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
All right, we're going to get Mike Smith on here. Just to wrap up on the revenue share, here's my take. As again, someone that's covered the state legislature here for a couple dozen years. I'll start off by saying this. I don't think this is what makes this so tough, Todd, because I don't think LSU... And again, this I know the lawsuit and this legislation is kind of more directed towards LSU and or any university in Louisiana should have to do something that no other university is doing. So really what needs to happen, and we've talked about this before, is there needs to be some sort of legislation in Congress. But the bottom line is that you have a public institution that in this moment is trying to act like a private corporation. And so if you let them slide on this issue, there is going to be others that come out and say, well, now we should be able to protect this kind of information that are public entities. One of the arguments that has been made a lot of is, hey, just Who cares? Just let them do what they need to do. We're also talking about the same university that overpaid its coach by $1 million.
Multiple times.
So there needs to be a watchdog on it. Again, I don't think LSU should have to do something that Auburn and Alabama and all these other schools have to do. But it's obvious they recognize that what they are doing is against the law, or else they wouldn't try to change the law. So they know they're doing something that's not right. And so that's why they're in support of this legislation. And to hear lawmakers, and I hear them, hey, we need to know where this dollar is going, and we don't need to know where this dollar is going. And then we hear a lawmaker today say, well, you don't need to know where this dollar is going because it involves my nephew. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, and the argument that, what was it, Candace Newell made?
Yes.
I mean, it was a strong argument from an emotional standpoint, but it blurred the issue.
Yeah.
Because, again, if they're just seeking privacy for the athletes, there already are mechanisms in place to keep the names and the specific payment information to those athletes out.
I want to make just one more point, and then we'll get to Mike Smith. The other, and I mentioned in the last segment, a lot of the discussion here is around safety. Hey, don't want to have these players harassed if people know how much money they're making. But then why are people in Louisiana allowed to bet on LSU football? Because if a kid drops a touchdown pass that would have given them allowed them to win the beat the spread or whatever it may be, or if you're betting the money line or whatever, don't you think that kid's going to get harassed? So why don't we it's just the double standard on this whole entire thing that just drives me up the wall.
I think that at the end of the day, when it comes back to this issue, the biggest issue is that there's a sincere lack of understanding, apparently on lawmakers' behalf as well as the general public, as to what a public dollar is.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the most confounding, disruptive issues about the whole thing.
It's a public dollar when it's not a public dollar.
Right.
Because for one lawmaker, it's not a public dollar because her kid's getting it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, that was our two cents on it. We'll see what happens with it, but looks like it's heading to the House floor, and we'll keep you updated on the discussion as it continues to go on. All right, let's bring in Mike Smith, the voice of LSU Gymnastics, public address announcer for LSU Gymnastics. He's also accustomed to what's happening at the state capitol. He understands it's a bit of a lot of two-sided talk at the state capitol, isn't there, Mike? But anyways, how about this LSU gymnastics squad? Your thoughts on their chances to get it done this weekend in Frisco?
You know, you can't bet on collegiate gymnastics, but if I could, I would say I'd be betting good money on the LSU Tigers to do very, very well in Fort Worth. I think, they are hitting a stride right now through the regional that was just incredibly impressive. And when you size it up against, the rest of the competition, I think they've got to be considered one of the top favorites to bring home the gold.
Well, Mike, they've been close with Oklahoma all year, met them twice and sort of had a disadvantage health-wise one time, and then I think they even had some injuries the second time, but they've really been close, and if you score, keep track of their scores all season, they've been really close. So why do you think LSU may have an advantage this time if they were to face up against Oklahoma again or get them in the field again?
That's a great question, and I would say this, and that is that if you look at the body of work of where LSU has been, through its regional, and this is not to diminish Oklahoma in any way, but, myself and other, watchers of the sport have noticed that Oklahoma has been, a little down. Maybe they peaked a little early. Their performance in the regional was good, but it wasn't great. I'll tell you who was great, and that's Florida. Florida, I think, is really got is the team along with LSU that are really the two to watch, and they're paired up together, you know, on Thursday. So you're going to get a really great look in the semifinal at exactly what I'm talking about. So you know, and then I think, you know, we'll see if Stanford can push LSU again like they tried to do in the regional and the PMAC. But really, this part of the season, guys, is all about those matchups. It's about who you have. You just have to finish in the top two on Thursday, advance to the winner-take-all final on Saturday, and that's where I think that both Florida and LSU have an advantage.
Mike, Andre here. How critical is it for this team to have Connor McClain for not only Thursday but on Saturday? And in your eyes, does she have to go in order for this team to be at their best?
I think they can certainly do it without her. There's plenty of talent to go around, but that road is so much easier when you have her in that group of what I've begun to call the special K's. You know, you certainly special K group led by Kaylin Chio, Kalia Lincoln, and Connor McClain. You know, those three K's are good to strike out most teams that are you know in this tournament, and I'll tell you what, they are three special athletes that we're going to look back, I think, when this run is complete, and say that they were three of the biggest difference makers in the history of that sport at LSU.
But what is the situation with Connor McClain right now, specifically?
Well, you know, if you hear Jay talk about it and what some of his comments that he's made, I think he steered everybody's attention toward that elbow. You know, I think that she just tweaked that elbow a little bit during that bars routine in the regional that caused her a pain in the hand that she fell. But from everything that I understand, that was actually, and this is a poor analogy, so forgive me, but it's the best I've got. And that is, you know, when old guys like us bang our elbow on something, you know, and you get that tingling sensation all the way up your arm and into your hand, it's akin to that, but magnified. And so, you know, but of course that nerve's got to settle down, and it sounds like all indications are that it's headed in a good direction. I think a good one, and you mentioned this a minute ago about the challenge at the SEC championship, you know, with LSU's health, and it was Kalia Lincoln waking up in the morning with an elbow that was similar to what Connor McClain faced.
Mike, just normally you have to hit your ceiling as a team to have any sort of shot at winning a national championship. So I guess just how important is it that these leadoffs like Lexi Zeiss, Kylie Cohen, Nina Ballou, Emily Ennis just hit their strides this weekend to take the pressure off of those others from getting like Chio getting that 10 and kind of having to rely on that every single routine?
When you guys asked me a question about Oklahoma, I think this is the big difference now between when LSU met them before and today, and that is the maturation of those that you just named. Those lead off, the 1-2 spots in the lineup, LSU is stronger today in those 1-2 spots than they were 6 and 8 weeks ago. And I think that is going to be a big difference maker come Thursday. I think that's going to be something to watch because, you know, when those athletes are on, they are incredibly special. And other teams, including Florida, have a really difficult time matching up in that 1-2-3 of the lineup. Everybody's great 4, 5, and 6. And, you know, there are numerous teams that are great. Even UCLA is in that mix. But it's in this championship part of the season, it's 1, 2, and 3 that set that table, that put that ceiling for the scores for 4, 5, and 6.
Hey, Mike, thanks for joining us. This is Glenn. I wanted to ask you, changing the subject a little bit, we had Dee Dee on the show a couple of weeks ago. What did you think of the documentary on her by the SEC Network?
Well, Glenn, in all transparency, I haven't watched it.
Oh. I thought you would have watched it. I'm sorry. You should watch it, dude. It's good.
I haven't watched it, and you know, that's an emotional subject for me. I worked with Dee Dee Bro longer than anyone, and certainly there are a lot of stories to tell. I certainly wish her all the best. She continues to be supportive of the program. I tell you what Jay Clark has done for this program in the last few years has taken it into the stratosphere. And I think that is also to be celebrated.
All right, Mike. Well, we'll see. Who do you see in the Final Four?
Well, I think you've got Florida LSU coming out of one semifinal, and then on the other side, I'm thinking it's going to be Oklahoma and UCLA most likely. If UCLA has enough gas left, I see them making it to Saturday. That's going to make for some great television, and it really is on Saturday afternoon. I think the Tigers have got a better than even shot of finishing on top. Florida's going to be right there. They are incredible, and they're peaking at just the right time as well. So I think the horse race really comes down between those two teams.
All right, Mike, it should be fun. We appreciate it. You heading up to Frisco?
No, I'm not going to be able to make it up this year, so I'm going to do like you guys. I'll watch it on television. I'll absorb it, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good, man. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Mike Smith, the voice of LSU Gymnastics. Let's take a break. More of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio when we come back.
How you doing? This is Snoop Dogg.
Tiger Rag. Tiger Rag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are tuned in.
Talk LSU sports, interviews, opinions, and your calls around the Tiger Nation.
Baton Rouge was a life for me. Home with LSU Tigers.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
We love to score and get highlights and championships and play to win.
Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, just a couple more segments left. Haven't gotten to Flaje Johnson's big night, getting drafted 8th overall by Golden State. And then shortly after that, I don't know, what was it, about 40 minutes later, Andre?
Yeah, about 40 minutes on the dot.
Her draft rights were traded to Seattle. So
in the stupidest trade of all time.
Did she get to keep the hat? Did they give her a Golden State hat? Or what?
Her family quickly put on the Seattle Storm hats.
I've seen that before, but usually not in the first round.
Well, the thing is, it's not uncommon in the NBA for that to happen, but it is uncommon for it to happen before the draft, after the draft picks. So usually they'll talk beforehand, which they did. They did talk beforehand, but the weird thing is that they didn't announce the trade beforehand, which was just a little odd. So usually, let's say if a team like Seattle – They'll talk before. So, they would have said, hey, can you pick this person
They would arrange it.
They would have arranged it. Right. And so it was announced way later than it was initially supposed to be.
The two things about it were that you traded a lottery pick, number one draft choice in Flaje Johnson,
right,
for two number twos.
No, not even for two number twos.
Yeah, number two for this year and a number two for next year, right?
It was just one number two pick and the rights to the – Seattle Storm's Marta Suarez, who was drafted
second in the second round, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
So,
correct.
So two number twos. Yeah, I guess two number twos.
Yeah. 2028 second round pick.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Okay. So that's goofy. But that now goofy. The good news: Dana Pokey Chapman is the assistant coach for
true.
Seattle.
That is
How about
true.
That?
Isn't that something?
Well, she was just at the Chicago Sky and was Angels' assistant, wasn't she?
Well, she was the former head coach there, but I don't think she was with. I don't know. I'm not keeping track of WNBA.
I'm not going to sit here.
Anyway, so now Flaje will have played for Kim Mulkey and Dana Pokey Chapman.
Yep.
All right.
And that's something.
Is the
Seattle team that Flaje is now on, is she going to a better team than Golden State?
They were both 23 and 21 last year.
Okay. But more of an opportunity at Seattle?
Way more of an opportunity. Flaje is going to play right away.
She wasn't going to play right away at Golden State?
She would have fought for some playing time there for sure. She would have played, but she'll play. She might start right away at Seattle they just traded one of their best guards to Chicago Sky.
Seattle wanted her, they said, because she's the type of driving, scoring guard that they need in their offense right now.
And not only
with
that,
all the changes.
Flaje Johnson is going to sell tickets she's going to be one of the faces of the franchise for them. So
I listened to her raps, the raps album she just released, or whatever they call them now.
I think they still call them rap albums.
Yeah, so I listened to it last night, man. I listened to every track, man. It was pretty good.
Yeah, what was your favorite line?
Speaking of music, man, Lane Kiffin finally quit playing freaking Belinda Carlisle. At practice, Jacques Doucet and I made such a ruckus over.
What was that song, Heaven?
We don't want to talk about it, Andre. But today the music was a little better. They had a little AC/DC in there, so it was cool.
Back in Black or what?
I forget which one it was. It wasn't that one, but it was a famous one.
Yeah,
Knocking Me Out with Those American Thighs.
No, it wasn't that one.
They have been pretty atrocious, I will say that.
All right, let's take our final break, and we'll wrap up the show. We'll give some more music critique when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes, and Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability, making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
Back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Everybody's a cute.
Live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio. So a big week coming up of LSU athletics. Spring football. Still got about 5 more practices. Is that about right? That sounds about right. Thursday, Saturday, and then 3 more next week. Obviously, LSU baseball, a huge series. LSU softball won tonight. They destroyed the Cajuns 8-0. Tough times for the UL Lafayette softball program right now. But LSU softball playing better.
Those were big wins over Arizona. They won
that series. They should have won all 3.
Yeah,
they're playing better than the baseball team.
Yeah, they had a chance.
LSU is tied 1-1 in the 5th right now at Northwestern State. Yeah,
thank goodness they started Zach Cowan. Well, Cowan only went, 2 innings?
2 innings.
2 innings. Grant Fontenot won the next 2, and now Reagan Ricken is out there.
It's been a tough year.
Man, tight. Tight game there in the midweek.
It looks like it's going to go down the wire tonight. They can't hit the ball, so can't hit Northwestern State pitching here.
But a big series coming up against Texas A&M. It'll be interesting to hear, if they get down a little bit, do we hear some boos and all that kind of stuff?
Not in Alex Box, huh? No.
No?
No, I don't think so. What do you think?
Pulmonary. Pulmonary's going to be in the crevices.
If they fall behind like early.
If they're wild wild pitches and errors.
Yeah, I could see some boos. I could hear some boos. Yeah.
I don't see them playing as bad as they've been playing at home. I just don't see that happening. I know Texas A&M's a great team. I just don't see them playing bad this weekend.
Yeah, I think they're all going to be competitive games. I don't think they're going to get run ruled like they got run ruled last weekend. So they'll be in it. I think there'll be a lot of drama. I mean, this is a team that's fighting it right now, and they got to reach deep down inside to figure out a way to at least win this series.
It's almost similar to what Texas A&M did to LSU last year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
A&M went into that series against LSU with their backs against the wall, and they made it happen.
Yeah, it helped that they played a doubleheader. I think
helped. That completely. they were definitely the beneficiaries of that.
And so, yeah, you're right. A&M was in a very difficult – but it didn't work out for A&M because they got swept by Missouri at the end. Is that right?
Yeah, literally that next weekend.
Yeah, the last weekend of the season they got swept. That's crazy. All right, but it's baseball. Anything could potentially happen. So,
as Yogi Berra said, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. All right, well, that's going to do it for another great show. We got to thank all our guests, Ryan Terrio, Kent Lowe, Mike Smith. If you missed the show and you're just hearing us now, you can always catch us anywhere you get your podcast. It's also uploaded to YouTube. You can look for it there, look back at some previous shows as well. So, and again,
TigerRag.com.
Keep an eye on that for the latest, especially when it comes to men's basketball transfer portal. And because Glenn Gilbo will be all over it. He's been waiting anxiously.
As soon as they get one.
He's been waiting patiently to write something, and he's not making any comments about the fact that they haven't gotten anyone just yet. So that does it for us.
I'm going to soon.
Don't stir up the LSU fan base, Glenn.
We'll get him going.
Gonna have to get Glenn Secret Service.
Well, yeah, that's what happens when you hate LSU, yeah. Glenn.
Witness protection.
I hate the Cubs. I don't hate LSU. Hate the Cubs.
In Will Wade's defense, very few teams have any.
All right, well, that does it for the show. Have a great night, everyone.
Tiger Rag is everywhere. Online at TigerRag.com. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/TigerRag Magazine. Or follow us on Twitter at Tiger_Rag.